And ultimately, you never know who an event creator is going to be. So that ticket buying purchase, or process rather, will gather the name, the email address, the billing information, right? So where are they coming from for all of those attendees? And then you can start to create some really interesting marketing emails around the best of event as it's approaching and then after it's over. And then of course, reach out to those same people for any other owned and operated events you have, or better yet, other events that are just happening in the community, right? Newsletters, I think things to do in event-based newsletters are a really great way to talk about events, get people to open those newsletters, click through those newsletters, which we're always after, right? We want those clicks. Especially if you can include things like a buy tickets button to certain events that are coming up, things like that, that will drive that type of engagement.
Welcome to the News Nirvana podcast. I'm your host, Nick Parker. The News Nirvana podcast features conversations with media professionals from across the country, highlighting our ever-evolving business models and showcasing the strong and effective journalism produced each and every day. This podcast is made possible to you by the generosity of Blox Digital. Blox Digital empowers content producers to connect with their worldwide audiences at scale and continuously transform to achieve their business goals. Contact Blox Digital today to learn more about how they can help you thrive. Connect with them at BloxDigital.com. Hello and welcome back to the News Nirvana podcast. I'm your host, Nick Parker. With me today, the VP of Sales from Event, it's Sarah McNamara. Welcome.
Hello, hello.
You know, I'm looking forward to this conversation because I think we all in the news business feel like events is that secret weapon, right? Like this, if we do enough of these, we'll get all the revenue we need, right?
Exactly, exactly. It's how do we take this awesome thing called events and turn it into
right
revenue and all those other fun things.
When we talked off air before we started, actually, you said something that I really, really liked. And I think it's the piece that maybe we don't always think about because we just think of events as fundraisers for the most part. Right. But you mentioned, and what you said was the interplay of events and content generation. And I think that's a great reminder and kind of a good place for us to start, because I don't think we always think of, oh yeah, we can pull some stories and we can pull some content out of this event. Yeah. It's not just pretty photos and the, you know, the thing that happened.
Absolutely. I mean, news organizations all the time, I mean, we're all focused on the news. Sometimes the news can be the same regardless of what community you're living in. And the thing that I think events do really well is help create kind of a sense of community. And it's a way that news organizations can kind of create that, oh, we're local. This is for our local people. And events are a great way to, you know, get involved in community and make you feel like you're a part of the community.
Right. I think there's a lot of times there's a struggle of, yeah, we're at everything and we're covering everything, but this is a good way to kind of, oh, we're a part of it too, or even just to insert ourselves and make
it. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Events are, I mean, it's interesting content too. People are always looking for, again, ways to get involved in their community. And, you know, I've moved around a lot in my life. And every time the first thing that I do is look for the community events. What's going to be happening this summer that I can get involved in? What can I go and do? And so that type of content is really engaging for your audience.
Right. I mean, from where's the local farmer's market to where's
exactly. The music
in the park or whatever, like all those, start with the little things. Right. And then get mm-hmm. to the other thing you said too, that I liked was it's the way to be local. And I think, you know, that's what we all want to be, because there's so much out there, and to stand out and to keep our partnerships alive, we have to stay the hyper-local place.
Exactly. You want to be the kind of go-to spot for people to see what's going on in their community, whether that is events or it is, you know, news stories or whatever. It's how they're finding you. Sometimes that's the entry point in, right? And so if they're looking for something super fun to do, you know, that can be kind of the entry point into the rest of your content as well.
So where do you, when you work with people and you're kind of, and I don't want to get into commercial for event, But I want to, like, when you're working with people, where are you actually, you know, how are you helping them with that kind of, okay, this is how you can do it, but also here's all of the stuff that you can get for content wise.
So yeah, I mean,
bigger picture.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, so with Event, we have a couple of different products, right? Not to get into the commercial aspect of it, but prefacing, we have our Event Discovery Calendar, which of course is a really easy way for people to have content that's on their site that is all about events that they don't have to necessarily produce themselves. That's always a great, easy spot to start, right? And then we also have our ticketing platform, which again is all content that's created by these event creators, people that are coming and they're adding their information in there. And so what a lot of our partners do is they'll take the event information that they've gotten from either their ticketing platform or maybe the event calendar, and they turn it into a snippet article, maybe some sponsored content, maybe a listicle. So listicles are kind of weird, but you know,
it's a list of
10 things to do. I see them every once in a while. It's not terrible.
I'm going to jump in real quick. What you're talking about right now is not necessarily the owned event of the news organization, but other events happening around the community.
Exactly. So that when you have an event strategy as a news organization, there's a definitely a few different levels that you can get involved in. And so there's certainly the owned and operated event aspect of this, but then there's also events that are already happening in your community that you can leverage for, like you're saying, revenue or content, really interesting event content. So if you want to kind of dip your toes into getting an event strategy started in your media company, I think Event Discovery is a great spot to start getting into event ticketing and providing this free community resource available for people to use. Another great way to get a little bit more involved in the events that are happening in your community. And then taking it to the next level, getting into sponsored events, and then even further than that, right, hosting your own and operated events. So events that you're planning yourselves as a news organization. I think that's like top tier event strategy.
right.
The most involved.
That takes a lot of out there relationship building. I mean, you've got to really get out there and have somebody dedicated to that, right?
Exactly. Yeah. When you start to plan some of your own events, it definitely gets a little bit more involved. Certainly worth it. There's all sorts of benefits to hosting your own events, right? Or even just sponsoring events. They say that event sponsorship actually drives brand engagement. Anyway, brand engagement with 98% of consumers is what I was trying to say, but it got lost. And now I don't even know where I started.
We all stumble through those things. And look, safe space, right? We're all in the same organizations here. That's interesting that it drives that much.
Yeah. I mean, if you're sponsoring an event at the basic level, right, your branding is kind of all over it, right? Depending on what you're sponsoring. And when you use our ticketing platform for some of your sponsored events, it actually takes it to the next level because it's a white label ticketing platform. So every single ticket buyer that comes to that event is seeing your branding as the media company on the top of the page that they're buying their tickets from, on the tickets themselves, and it's delivered in their inbox from that media organization, whatever the brand is, right, that they've decided it to be. So they see it before they even attend the event. And then once they attend the event, they see it again. So, I mean, that's not even getting into the revenue aspect of selling each ticket. It's just talking about, you know, you're exposing your brand to each of these ticket buyers ahead of the event where they're going to be exposed more to your brand. So
I think that's an important conversation, important thing to note for news organizations, especially I think these smaller hyper local ones, because I'm just going to be honest about it. We're really bad about marketing ourselves.
Yeah. It's not fun to talk about yourself unless you've been given the platform to do so. And so very often you're just not presented that opportunity.
And I think even the platform is there. We don't want to do it. We avoid it. It feels weird, right? I think it's something that as an industry, we're bad at and we don't embrace. Radio's great at it, right? I think radio's really good. TV's a little better. Print is horrible.
Yeah, for sure.
I think just remembering that simple things like that to keep the brand out there, and you're partnering with these other companies, right? So you're exactly. in with their brand as well and their local activity that's happening. I think it's important to remind ourselves of that.
Right. Especially if it's an event that's really, you know, popular in your community, right? Or something that people talk about all year round. They're like, oh, are you going to the summer concert series down at the amphitheater? That's something that people are talking about. They're going to start associating your brand with that event and be reminded, oh, this is a fun thing to do. This is a, yeah.
Yeah. We're really good about reminding other people why they should keep doing their branding exercises with us.
I just take some of those tips sometimes internally. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But sponsored events are a great way to do that. And it takes out all the stress of advocate to plan your own event. A lot of the same benefits.
Right, right. So let's flip it. Let's flip that script then. Okay. We do want to put out all of that effort. We do want to start hosting our own events. You know, what are you talking with people on that? Because it does take a lot more effort. It takes a little bit of money. You're going to spend some, but I think it's kind of the same, right? I mean, we're asking other people then to come and partner with us.
Exactly. But I think it's worth it for sure. You have your brand out there. Again, you're associating yourself with something fun, right? Something that's memorable, something that people will want to talk about beyond just the event itself. When you do take the time to plan it yourself, of course, there's a lot more involved in that, but it's your event. And then the other way that you can kind of leverage that event into other revenue opportunities is by creating some advertising and marketing packages around that. So we see a lot of like best of type events coming through the platform. We also see a lot of things. I know. I do too. I vote on them every time. I'm like, this is the best taco. Trust me. But that's a great opportunity to not only celebrate the people in your community, but also, again, associate your brand with all of these best of things that are happening, and then leveraging that as a way to sell advertising in your print. Be like, okay, we have a best of issue coming up. Do you want to be featured to help increase like your opportunity to get voted best taco or best right. burger or best whatever?
But tacos are always going to be burgers.
That's yeah, for real. I mean, if you think about it, taco kind of is a burger, but...
Well, you know, here's the thing. The ceiling on a taco is just much higher, right? A burger can only go so far.
That's true. Yes. Excellent point.
But I think, like, you know, look, we all love the best of things. I mean, A, it's great revenue generation. It's great audience engagement. But on the flip side, people like voting and people like fighting for the thing that they think is the best, and they want to be a part of it. And for businesses, look, they get a little a plaque or a banner or a sticker, something to put on their window, and they get to brag for a year, and then that party at the end, right? When you announce all the winners and you have a little party with some food and some drinks, that to me is like when it all comes together, all of that local stuff, and everyone comes together.
Exactly. Yeah, the end result is always really cool, and it's always interesting for me to see how these different media companies are finding sponsors or getting creative in the way that they're hosting their events. We attend the City and Regional Magazine's annual conference almost every year. Unfortunately, we're missing this year, which is a bummer, but I think they're going somewhere cool too. Anyway, but I like sitting in on those sessions and listening to how they are getting creative in the different events that they're hosting and really seeing how they're able to take a best of event, which seems really simple and straightforward, and turn it into something that is sometimes a $1 million revenue generation and something that people actually want to participate in and go to the party at the end. Yeah. So that's always really fun.
What are some of those creative things that you've heard people doing? Now I'm curious. And I also
I know.
I'm going to steal some ideas.
I wish I could remember most of them. My memory is terrible. I know so this is kind of old now. When it first came out, the thing where you'd stand on the platform and it would spin around and take pictures, you know what I'm talking about? There was a lot of people doing that kind of thing, which I thought was really cool. Again, years ago, so this is not very cutting edge info for you, but that was neat. Man, I wish I could remember more.
But, you know, it's better. It's all newer and better than what we used to just give you the vinyl banner.
Right. Exactly. Like, yeah, it's definitely gone planner. Beyond. It's gone beyond that. Yeah, for sure. Anything.
It's not within reach. I should show it to you later. So one of the shows that we produce got a best of in our local area, which is the Kansas City area, and the plaque, all the design on it looks like a classic Zelda video game or something. Cool. Like, design on it's really awesome.
Nice. Something that's exciting to show. No other reason to
participate. There's that, right?
It's just exactly
fun design.
Bragging rights. People can talk about it. If they're talking about it, they're talking about your media company, essentially. Put your brand all over that. And then your branding's all over all these local communities, businesses, and all of that.
The News Nirvana podcast is made possible by the generosity of Blox Digital. Blox Digital empowers content producers to connect with their worldwide audiences at scale and continuously transform to achieve their business goals. Contact Blox Digital today to learn more about how they can help you thrive. Connect with them at BloxDigital.com. How do you then take, so here's my thing. We do, say we do the best of, or any other iteration of that. What is that next step to keep those people, all those businesses, all those local places that participated, to keep them as partners for the next things?
Yeah, great question. I mean, getting information, contact information, things like that, first party ticket buyer data is a great way to do that, right? So not just the people and the businesses that you're already working with, but expanding out to the people that are fans of those businesses, right? Especially if you're selling tickets or even doing free tickets to this type of an event, you're going to get not only the businesses information that you're already working with, you may already have that, so it's a little less exciting, but you get the information for all of their fans, right? The people that are supporting those businesses. And ultimately, you never know who an event creator is going to be. So that ticket buying purchase, or process rather, will gather the name, the email address, the billing information, right? So where are they coming from for all of those attendees? And then you can start to create some really interesting marketing emails around the best of event as it's approaching and then after it's over. And then of course, reaching out to those same people for any other owned and operated events you have, or better yet, other events that are just happening in the community, right? Newsletters, I think things to do in event-based newsletters are a really great way to talk about events, get people to open those newsletters, click through those newsletters, which we're always after, right? We want those clicks. Especially if you can include things like a buy tickets button to certain events that are coming up, things like that, that will drive that type of engagement. Those are a great way to keep them engaged.
It sounds like the ticketing aspect is a kind of a sneaky but really powerful piece of this.
Like it is.
Not as powerful, not what you'd expect, I guess.
It is, yes, definitely. Because it's something that is free for event organizers to use, it's an opportunity for you to provide a service for those event creators in your community. So right off the bat, you're already starting to be like a provider of services for events that cost them nothing. So it's really an intriguing way to get people interested in your brand for marketing their event. So it's a really great way to get like non-advertisers, people that haven't used you for advertising in the past, to start getting like a little taste of what you have to offer.
Right, right. Well, that extra little bit of the data collection, right? Of learning who your audiences are. And I know I always feel a little guilty when I talk about data collection.
Yes and no. I mean, if you're providing them something like a things to do newsletter or an events newsletter, something that they're really interested in, obviously because they're attending events that are happening in your community, getting them on those types of newsletters, you're again giving them something that they may be interested in. And so every time somebody's coming to your ticketing, what we call portal or brand, your page where there's all these different events, and they buy a ticket, you're earning a piece of ticket fee revenue, but you're also earning that name, the email address, and the billing zip code. And you can start to use those types of things to increase your CPM rates, or get a little bit more strategic in who you're emailing and when, because you're able to see, okay, this person has bought tickets to primarily kids and family style events, or this person has bought tickets to live music or our theater section of event categories. And so you can get a little bit smarter about who your audience is and what they're buying.
Right. And then that circles back around to now you've got more content to make and
exactly
deliver it out there. I think we've all realized that those, whether they're newsletters or just timed things, right? Just reaching people that way is really, really effective.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And it's, again, things that people, you know, may be interested in. It depends. Things to do this weekend. Everyone wants something to do this weekend.
Well, and it's another way for us to reach out, because I think it's very easy to forget that we need to keep reaching out to see what it is that our audience wants. I mean, we all feel like we're the expert because we, you know, we walk whatever our beat is and we hit our areas, and sometimes we think we know everything, but you have to have different ways to keep reaching out, to keep asking, what is it that you guys want? What do you want to talk about?
Right. What are you interested in?
Because
how can I get you?
Yeah. Cause I think sometimes we're so deep into the weeds of a lot of things. We think we know what they want to talk about, but they don't either know or care yet because they're not as deep as we are.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, just looking at that, I think looking at those numbers and what people are wanting to go to is good.
Yeah. And it's kind of interesting. I think one of my favorite things, outside of course, the fact that it's a new revenue stream, ticketing, the other part of it that I really do like is the data collection. And it's a way to get people that you might not already be reaching, right? So I think the best example of this is one of our partners in Northern Michigan. And if you're familiar with Northern Michigan, you know that the population is pretty scant. It's down there. In the whole, like, I don't know which direction this goes, but from here up, there's about 500,000 people in that little region of Michigan. And our partner up there through the ticketing platform has generated over 100,000 email subscribers, they've added over 100,000 email subscribers to their database. And now they are sending them those things to do type newsletters, things that are coming up, things that people might be interested in. And those by far have their highest open and click through rates. And they actually earn about as much from selling ads in those newsletters as they do ticket fees from the ticketing platform. It's about a 50-50 mix there. So,
wow.
And they feed each other, right? The more people that are buying tickets, the more email addresses you have, the more email addresses and subscribers, generally the more tickets you're selling to those events, because it kind of does this fun circle.
Right. Right. That's interesting. I'm curious, what are you finding, since you brought up Northern Michigan and the more rural areas, which I have a soft spot for the rural areas. Are you finding similar stories between, you know, the major metro areas and the rural areas? I mean, obviously raw numbers aren't going to match up, but I think percentages, I guess, are they the same?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. There's what we classify as like an ideal client profile or customer profile. It's either a small to mid-sized market that has either a college, university, or a strong tourism draw, which of course Northern Michigan has, if you know Traverse City at all. Or it's a major metro and the media company is already on its way to being kind of the go-to spot for promoting events. So a lot of those larger metros do really well with the ticketing or creating an event strategy in general, if they are committed to that strategy, right? Like they want to be the go-to spot for events. And so that is the draw. Like if I came up to you and said, do you want a ticket with my media company? You probably wouldn't care if it was not already something that you knew that their audience was going to be interested in the event. On the other hand, if it was somebody that's known for event promotion, or you know that is kind of the spot to go to find and discover upcoming events, you're like, yes, I would love to use your ticketing platform. So it really is like either the small, mid-sized market with the large kind of wealth of events because of the college or the tourism or whatever, or you are in the metro and you have that strong brand that's known for event strategy. Those are the two segments that do really well, specifically with ticketing.
Right.
And you can always start baby steps, right? Start with the event discovery, start with calendars, and start to develop an event strategy and become that go-to spot for event promotion.
This has been interesting to me because I really didn't expect so much of the conversation to be on the ticketing side. And I think that's just bias because we've always thought of, oh, we need to do a couple events to make money. Like if I do five of these in the year, I can get X thousand dollars, you know, in sponsorship. I know I can repeat that recipe over and over and over. And so this has been a little bit surprising to me, I think, to spend as much time talking about just the ticketing side.
Well, that might be my bias as well. I definitely like the ticketing a little bit more. Not a little bit more, but it's more interesting to me because there's a lot more strategy involved instead of just putting up a calendar on your site, which is great. It's definitely necessary, right? People want to find things to do, but the ticketing, you have the opportunity to kind of make it your own, right? Because it is white labeled and there's some strategy that can go into it. We have a partner.
It's an easier entry too into the pool.
It is for sure. Definitely. Yeah. And so we have a partner in Columbia, South Carolina, and they are only working, I think, with like 10 different event organizers. So they're not doing a ton, right? And they don't have any of their owned and operated events yet. But just with the ticketing platform alone, they've generated over, I think it's $175,000 worth of ticket fee revenue in the last 14 months or so. And so the ticket fees, it sounds little because it's just one ticket and it's just like, you know, $1.50 plus 4%. It sounds like nothing. But if you're going with, you know, big events or strategic venues or like, you know, it can really grow very quickly. And yeah, just 10 event organizers and $176,000 worth of just ticket fees. That's not talking about email addresses. It's not talking about brand awareness. That is just revenue.
Yeah, if that doesn't pique someone's interest.
I know. Really? And that's year one. That is like the cool thing about ticketing is it's super sticky, right? Because it's technology and people like to learn something once. Mm-hmm. And especially if they get involved with somebody local, it's not like they're going to just abandon you, right? So right. Our retention rate in ticketing is somewhere between 80 and 90% year over year. And of course, a lot of that has to do with people just not hosting events the next year or events going out. What have you. So it's a great way to snowball your revenue. You start with something, start with one event, that event continues the next year, you grab another event. Even if you've got one event a year, it still, you know, doubles pretty quickly, pretty easily. And the ticketing does the advertising for you, right? You're going, you're buying a ticket, mm-hmm. that media company's brand's on it. I might be an event creator myself and be like, oh, I could use this local ticketing. And oftentimes we refer to it as an alternative to Eventbrite, a localized alternative to Eventbrite. Right. So it advertises itself for you as people are buying tickets. So the more events that you have up there, the more people are buying tickets, the more you're getting your event out there, or I'm sorry, your brand out there.
Right. And that just goes back to the local relationships. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're a local option. And I think people would rather use they'd rather use another local business. They'd rather use the friend they know down with the office down the street. I think that's a good reminder of those relationships and that you can be that option, even if it is a tech thing.
Exactly. And how much fun is it to pitch something that's totally free? I love it.
Yeah.
I love that. I mean, you're like, come use our ticketing platform. It's completely free for you. Plus it comes with, we'll help you advertise your event because it benefits us to help your event sell out because then we earn more money.
People who've listened to this before know that like I loathe and have great anxiety about sales anyway. So asking, you know, being able to go in and make a pitch where it says, hey, and I'm not going to ask you for money, it makes me breathe easier.
Exactly. Exactly. I Big fan of free. It's also an interesting way too to get people that haven't advertised with you before. Give them a way to test what you have for free, right? So use our ticketing platform. We'll advertise your event and, you know, we'll include you in our newsletter, or we'll include you in our featured calendar listing, or, you know, whatever free simple thing you can do. And then they become an advertiser, a paid advertiser, because they're like, oh, I do have an audience here. You do have an audience that fits what I'm doing. Let's next time put together this huge marketing package for me.
Right.
So
I really like that. I'm surprised, because I had never thought about that as an entryway into, I just in my head just create the same, you know, event recipes over and over and over again. And most of the time they're good.
I should not be in charge of planning events. I'm good at attending them. I'm good at buying tickets to them, planning them. It's not my strong suit.
We all have our lanes.
Exactly.
Some people are really good at making that silent auction work. They can write their name in. We've all been to that chamber gala, right?
Yeah, exactly.
In all the communities around the country.
It's everywhere.
Well, Sarah, this has been really cool and enlightening. I don't know that everybody else will be as kind of surprised as I was. Just haven't really thought of it from that angle. So if nothing else, I got some ideas for my own organization.
It's a win.
Yeah. If people want to know more, if they want to follow you at event, or they want to get in contact with you, what's the best way for people to do that?
Yeah, we have our partners@event.com email address, and it's EVVNT, not how you think it would be spelled, but the double V. Or of course, event.com. We have a great giant demo button right up at the top that you can pick and book a demo with one of our members of our team.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. And I think, you know, I might be calling soon. So now I got ideas. I took notes.
What we like to hear.
There we go. Well, thanks so much. I appreciate it. That'll wrap us up for this episode. We will talk to everybody next time. The News Nirvana podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or most any of your favorite podcast apps. The News Nirvana podcast is made possible by the generosity of Blox Digital. Connect with them at bloxdigital.com. The News Nirvana podcast is produced by Fredcasts. Think, speak, act.